Welcome to this podcast produced by Imagine, your resource for early childhood music therapy. Imagine is produced by Della Vista Publisher and can be found on the web at www.imagine.musictherapy.biz. The title of this podcast is Virtual and Technical Support, the Lifeline to Early Childhood Educators' Frontline Work, and features Maggie Connolly in an interview with Dr. Petra Kern. Hello, I'm Dr. Petra Kern, the Editor-in-Chief of the Imagine magazine. Welcome, Maggie Connolly. Thank you for joining me today on this Imagine podcast. Over the past year, the COVID-19 global pandemic has required us to be flexible and adjust how we work with young children and their families. In this year's Imagine podcast series, we would like to explore how you, Maggie, work with young children and their families and how it has directly or indirectly changed as a result of the pandemic, what you have learned and the experiences you have had.
Thank you for having me, Petra. I work at Child Care Services Association in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. It's a local resource and referral agency that serves the families in our area. And my role there is as a technical assistance manager. I actually am working with a group of TAs or technical assistance specialists who are working in infant and toddler classrooms throughout the state, providing them support and resources to improve their interactions with young children and their families.
If I remember this correctly, Maggie, this is a 3-year pilot project. What is the original intention of the project?
Well, this 3-year model pilot project that I am on, which is funded through the federal government into our state, was it's entitled Intensive Technical Assistance for Infant Toddler Teachers and Directors. The idea behind this was that TAs, technical assistance specialists, would go out and work intensively. We're talking about 4 to 6 hours per week in these classrooms, in these programs, modeling and supporting those teachers in order to improve their interactions and their work with children. They also work with the directors of the program, creating a support network for the leadership. We all know that things won't change for children and families if it doesn't start from the top and that those teachers feel supported by administration. This was all working wonderfully, and then the pandemic hit, and so everything had to go virtual. And that's been an interesting process, but it is still going on. So through Zoom and equipping all of our teachers with Kindle Fires and or laptops, our TAs are still providing weekly coaching sessions to those teachers. Also, a wonderful part of this project is that after the teacher committed to a certain amount of technical assistance, then they were able to choose classroom enrichment materials for their children. And so each classroom got over $2,500 worth of materials to enhance, which to many programs was really a very valuable thing. So the children benefit, the families benefit, and the of course, the teachers and directors benefit from this project.
So how does a workday during COVID-19 now look for you and the TAs? What are they doing on a daily basis?
Yes, it's very interesting. First, I should say, too, as part of this model project, my position was created where I'm a technical assistance manager and I coach the coaches. So I meet and have since the beginning of the project, meet with these technical assistance providers on a weekly basis. And we meet virtually because they're out in the state and we talk about what they're doing and how they're doing it. And they reflect on their practices and we talk about the individual people that we're working with. We found this to be very useful. Often technical assistance providers feel isolated in their roles of supporting teachers. And so we have a strong team where they work in pairs, they have each other, and then I have a full team that we meet on a monthly basis and support one another. So that never changed with the pandemic. That's continuing on. But what changed is that then where those where those TAs were going out into the classrooms, they were meeting with the teachers virtually. And I have to tell you, at the start of the pandemic in March and April, it was a lifeline to those teachers because those providers are on the front lines and all the health restrictions came into being. Many of them were in classrooms alone with children where parents couldn't drop the children off, where other providers could not come into their classrooms. And the TAs might be the one and only adult that they talk to that day to see what's going on. So these technical assistance providers not only do observations through Zoom and watch and listen and record and talk to the teachers about what they're doing, but they also set goals with these teachers and they meet with them and work on a variety of things that the teachers have identified that they want to work on. The same happens for the directors, although on a monthly basis, the directors, the group of directors from around the state meet at what we call a Director's Leadership Academy to offer support to one another of the struggles that they're dealing with, which of course has changed fairly greatly with COVID. These meetings have been essential for these directors to be able to virtually get together with a group of colleagues struggling with the exact same challenges that they are facing. So.
Let's talk about the families. What kind of adjustments had they to make due to changes in the service provision?
Yes. Well, I have to say that the children and families during this pandemic have had to make the greatest adjustments and sacrifices. I mean, I speak only for North Carolina, but I know this is nationwide, that that the availability of care became very scarce, and that did remain open and existed for so families had very difficult access. Something we always knew, but the pandemic has highlighted, is that childcare teachers and providers are on the front line. They're frontline workers. Other people can't go to work unless someone's taking care of the children. And so these children and families, they had to have these services. And so the programs that did stay open and had to learn all the health and safety regulations, they had to put in all new protocol, all the things that had to be done, health checks at the door, one staff person taking the child into the classroom. The parents didn't have access to the teachers anymore, unless it was electronically. So they weren't going to be able to see what's going on. Of course, as COVID cases increased, it was all the, this has to be quarantined, this center has to, you know, close down, where are we going to find care, childcare programs hanging on by a thread, you know, in order to provide those services for families. So, and then of course, you know, it doesn't affect the children under two, but any of the other children, they have to wear masks now, and teachers are in masks full time. And so how does a child, you know, read teacher's cues and hear their voice and learn the language, all the critical things, you know, singing songs and everything that these teachers are having to do it with masks on now, and finding a way for children to be able to still grow and learn the way they need to.
Mm-hmm. Well, you already addressed it for the families, but what have been the biggest challenges for you and your technical assistants?
I feel that the major challenge for everyone during this time, children and families and teachers and directors, was really the stress and the fear of the pandemic and the anxiety that it produced. And so trying to keep things calm and regular and positive and upbeat, very challenging. That was the biggest challenge for all of us. So the TAs, you know, listening and being able to respond to what the teachers need so that they could go back and turn off their machines and give it to the children who in essence, you know, and so there was, we had to bring in a lot of training on trauma-informed practices and, you know, practice on health and safety regulations and how to do things differently. And RTA changed around that, you know, resiliency training and self-care became the top of the list of things that TAs were having to work with on a daily basis. So, but you speak about the children with disabilities. Yes, that was the hardest thing. Of course, if there were health risks that put them at for fear, then of getting sick, then that was an added worry. But the loss of therapies, because of course no outside therapists were allowed in, and you know it took time, but they slowly but surely, you know, kicked into gear and started to do things virtually and stuff, and some to greater excess than others, but yes, when they could get a child for a shorter period of time on a Zoom thing where they could see their provider, their therapist, that work is continuing on. But yes, you know how teachers are on the front lines and they see when they're seeing a lag. And so the whole process of referral and screening and assessment literally was stopped in its tracks because those therapists couldn't pick up anybody new. How do you do a formal assessment on a little one virtually? So we're still working through a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's talk about the positives. Have you observed any benefits coming out of this crisis so far?
Yes, we are always looking to the positives. We are always focusing on the strengths of the people providing the care. What we discovered are that people are very resilient, that they can find other ways to do it. They can be creative. We found that virtual technical assistance can work. Virtual support to providers and teachers can work, and that this will continue on after this is, you know, we're talking about rural centers that a TA would not be able to get into just because of the distance. Well, now that we've given them the resources to have that connection, that can happen much more easily. And I can see that going forward, at some point we'll get back in, but we're never going to let go of what we've gained here, that providers are able to get training online and get as much out of it as they would if they had to drive across town to go to a training. So there's been some positives in the virtual world. Resources have been developed specifically for online use, you know, access to resources that, you know, exemplary video clips of anywhere from 1 to 3 minutes of practice on a specific topic, be it social emotional development or even, you know, using music with one children. These are resources that now with the tablets or the iPads that teachers can easily access and get used to. You know, in their busy lives, they have limited time. And so it's got to be quick. It's got to be easy. It's got to be readily accessible. And I think they're learning how to do that. And they're fitting it in to their day at all different times. I think it's going to work.
Talking about resources, are there any which have been especially helpful to you and your technical assistants? And are there any which you would recommend to our listeners today?
Yes. Well, there's been so many. I mean, so many that I've learned that I didn't even know. But a bit that we're using and we're investing in this through our project is the TeachStone class, which is focused on interactions. They have a whole website of readily accessible resources for teachers and for coaches to work with teachers. So we've heavily utilized that. Then of course, just all the best in our nation, you know, 0 to 3 has a whole section, the 0 to 3 website, that NAEYC, whether they had these before and they were not being highly utilized, we are utilizing all of them. Other things have grown out of, of the situation that we're in. So now the trauma-informed practices is big, and there's a lot of resources out there related to that. Of course, resiliency training and self-care. Most recently, the whole focus on equity in early childhood education and social justice is just exploded in our field, that those things are coming to us and in turn going to the teachers to change things, to enlighten them, to see it's so much bigger than anything we thought. So yeah, there's been a lot of wonderful resources. Of course, our Division of Child Development here in North Carolina are putting out a lot of practical information on a weekly basis, and teachers and directors have free access to those as licensed programs in the state. So it's almost too much, and that the TAs have talked about narrowing it down, zoning in, focusing, helping teachers focus. So that's what their job is, right? Their job is to help the teacher identify what they need and then bring just that piece to them so that they can nibble off and get that part of their repertoire, and then they can expand from there. So
wrapping up this interview, Maggie, what are your hopes for the future? And can you give some words of encouragement for our listeners?
Certainly. Well, one thing I would be remiss if I did not mention, because it's dear to my heart, is I'm hoping that what I'm wishing for is that through this, there is going to be financial recognition for the healthcare teachers in our country, in our state, in our country, in our world, because these workers are frontline essential workers, and they have not been valued enough, and it needs to be raised up. And you know, many of these people work for $10 an hour, and the services that they are providing are worth so much more. Had they not gone back into work, had they not taken the risks that were necessary, then everything else that we rely on would not happen. You wouldn't have had people working the grocery stores. You wouldn't have doctors and nurses in the hospitals. So I'm hoping there will be a movement for better financial recognition for childcare teachers. Mm-hmm. And then a word of encouragement,
yes,
for listeners would be, I think that we are smarter and stronger and better prepared for going forward than we ever were before. We didn't know what we didn't know, and now we're stronger for it. We're better for it. We're stronger in our health and safety practices. We're smarter in how to get children and parents what they need. And so I believe that should the next thing come along, we're going to be much better prepared for it. And I have hope. I have great hope.
Thank you so much for your insights, Maggie. It was a pleasure and honor talking with you.
Thank you, Petra, for having me.
Thanks for listening to this Imagine podcast produced in 2021.